queering government schools, Just Say No. For decades, homosexual and trans activists have used schools to indoctrinate children with the disordered and destructive LGBTQ ideology. 13 years ago, the Journal of Gay and Lesbian Issues in Education published an article titled Trans-Friendly Preschool by recently ordained Reverend Laurel A. Dykstra, a bisexual Christian activist who has twins via a sperm donor. I wrote about her article for IFI in 2008, a decade ago. Here are some of Dykstra's ideas for training up children in the way they should go. She said that the gender binary system is harmful to everyone. She moralized that it is not enough for classrooms, teachers, and schools to be open or non-judgmental. They need to be actively trans-positive. Dykstra recommended 13 years ago that when talking to preschoolers, teachers should say things like, well, most men have penises, but some don't. And some girls grow up to be men. She urged teachers to encourage kids to question their assumptions. How do you know that that person is a woman? Could a man wear a dress? She instructed teachers to call children by the name and the pronouns they choose. She recommended accessorizing classrooms with a tranny teddy. Have a non-gendered toy, doll, or puppet. Do not use pronouns, and give this creature a variety of gendered clothing, such as a skirt and tie. If asked, say, oh, Binker isn't a boy or a girl. She suggested having a Butch Femme Day. Why not teach kids language like Butch Femme as an alternative to boy, girl, or male, female? You could have dress-up days to play deliberately with gender, like Fabulous and Fearless Day or Capable and Campy Day. She encouraged teachers to invite a drag performer or transsexual person who would be willing to share their story in a photo album. When reading picture books to preschoolers, Dykstra recommended switching pronouns, avoiding them altogether, or using alternative pronouns. Then Dykstra rationalized using deceit in the face of parental opposition. She said, and I quote, for stealth practitioners, that is to say teachers in a transphobic setting, these classroom suggestions can be implemented without fanfare to create a more just and welcoming classroom, end quote. Remember, these recommendations were made 13 years ago, and we now have drag queen story hours for toddlers in public libraries. This is what happens when we ignore warnings and succumb to peer pressure and cowardice. The efforts of sanctimonious and arrogant LGBTQ activists to queer schools are not limited to preschools. Illinois lawmakers, captivated by bad ideas in general and enthralled to the LGBTQ ideology, are pushing a bill that would require teachers to discuss the disordered homosexual and biological sex-rejecting predilections of anyone who has contributed something noteworthy to culture. This is a tricksy way of transferring the good feelings children and teens have about achievements to homosexuality and opposite sex impersonation, which is the ultimate goal of LGBTQ activists. Only California has a similar law. Someone should ask lawmakers why this bill is limited to the roles and contributions of homosexuals and opposite sex impersonators. Why doesn't it mandate discussions of the roles and contributions of polyamorists or the trans-abled? For those who don't know, trans-abled persons identify as disabled persons and wish to bring their bodies into alignment with their subjective, internal, felt sense of being disabled. They often want a limb amputated. And what about minor attracted persons, those who experience genetic sexual attraction, and those who experience all manner of paraphilias, like sadomasochists, fetishists, infantilists, and voyeurs? Shouldn't children and teens who experience those powerful, persistent, unchosen feelings see others like themselves represented in curricula? Oh, but that's not all. Schools also allow activities, including protests, created and promoted by outside LGBTQ activist organizations to disrupt instructional time. The queen of all classroom-invading protests, the Day of Silence, takes place this Friday, April 27th, in thousands of high schools and middle schools across the country. The Day of Silence is a protest organized and promoted by the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, which urges students to refuse to speak all day on Friday, including during class, in support of all things homosexual and trans. In response to this usurpation of public schools for a partisan political protest, a national coalition of almost 50 pro-family activists and organizations, including the Activist Mommy, American Family Association, Capital Resource Institute, Minnesota's Child Protection League, Coalition of African American Pastors, Dr. Michael Brown's Coalition of Conscience, Concerned Women for America, Illinois Family Institute, Liberty Council, Mass Resistance, and Mission America are urging parents to keep their children home. This Day of Silence walkout, which is not technically a walkout, just keep your kids home, has been taking place for over a decade. There are three major reasons to keep your children home on the Day of Silence. One, to remove your children from exposure to yet more corrupt ideas and coercive social pressure. Two, to communicate to administrators, faculty, and school board members that if they allow instructional time to be disrupted, and yes, refusal to speak disrupts instructional time, your children will not be present. And three, to prevent political protests from metastasizing in government schools. Efforts like the Day of Silence are not solely or centrally about ending bullying. These efforts are intended to eradicate moral distinctions between right and wrong sexual behavior and to mainstream homosexuality and the trans ideology. One can both oppose bullying and the Day of Silence. Efforts like the Day of Silence, the School Sexuality Indoctrination Bill, and Dykstra's recommendations for transing preschools are about using public monies and captive audiences of children to transform their moral and political views. That is not the role of government employees. The presupposition on which all of these efforts are based is that homosexual activity and opposite-sex impersonation are moral, which is an arguable belief, not an objective fact. To find out more about the Day of Silence walkout and see a complete list of coalition partners, go to the Day of Silence walkout website. It's doswalkout.net, and there's a link to it in this article online. I will conclude with what I wrote in 2008. No civil society, let alone those who claim to be followers of Christ, would countenance such evil being perpetrated on our most innocent. The ideas articulated by Dykstra and Glisson and the School Sexuality Indoctrination Bill constitute not education, but unconscionable educational malpractice. Virtually every cultural institution, from our churches to our courts, to our legislatures, to our news media, to our entertainment industry, to our government schools, has been commandeered by homosexuals and those who support their destructive cultural agenda. Those who hold traditional Judeo-Christian values must boldly and tenaciously oppose through word and deed efforts to normalize homosexuality and the trans ideology, especially in government schools that our taxes subsidize. If ever there was a time for weeping, it is now. If ever there was a time for righteous indignation, it is now. If ever there was a time for uncompromising courage, it is now.